The Lord has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but the Lord did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Listen now for God's word to and for us. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us at the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as I told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. This, for the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you, and you alone, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At first glimmer of daybreak, I got up quickly, rushed to get dressed, grabbed the anointing spices, and went out to meet the other women. The last two nights, I hadn't slept a wink. Every time I closed my eyes, before me were the sights and the sounds of crucifixion, the blood streaking down Jesus' face because of the crown of thorns that was embedded in his skull, the hammering of the spikes that they put into his feet and into his wrists. And then there was the water and the blood that gushed out of him when the Roman soldier stabbed him after he had died to make sure that he was gone. It was too much for me, and too much for the women who stood with me at the foot of the cross. What was worse was that we believed that there was nothing we could do to stop what was happening. There was nothing we could do to take away any of his pain. It was one of the saddest moments and days in my whole life. We sat there and we looked at each other and we hugged each other. You know, we were so disappointed because we had thought that he was the promised one. We had thought that he was the Messiah. That week ago Sunday, when we all chanted, "Hosanna, save us." We thought that he was the one that would come and save us from the oppression from the Romans that we had endured for so many years. Who else could he be except the Messiah? Who else could feed the multitudes with just 5 loaves and 2 fish? Who else could restore the sight to the blind? Who else could raise the dead? But I guess it was not to be so. We stayed there by his side underneath the cross and waited and watched and offered the ministry of presence, the only thing that we could possibly do. We recall the time that he was with us, and when he spoke, it was like nobody else spoke, because it seemed that he was speaking to each one of us individually, although he was speaking to hundreds of people and preaching to them at one time. But his words seemed to touch our hearts, each in a very, very special way. So we thought that he was the one, the promised one, but we knew that it was probably not to be true. If he only had not gone back to Jerusalem, we knew that they were looking for a way to do away with him. We knew that his life was going to be at stake, but he went back. And there he was in the thick of everything. His popularity had made the synagogue leaders nervous. You see, many people were listening to him and many people were following them, and they felt like their base of power was being eroded and they were losing control. He had claimed to be the Son of God, and that was blasphemy, and the punishment for blasphemy was crucifixion. Oh, they wouldn't do their dirty work for themselves, but Rome was only too happy to oblige them. Rome's favorite means of controlling the masses was through fear, through the most public and humiliating of deaths, crucifixion. It was barbaric. No one should have to suffer that kind of a death, no matter what he or she had done. And he hadn't done anything wrong. The only thing that he had done was to show mercy and compassion and love to everyone, especially to the least of these, those whom nobody else would have anything to do with. And how eerie and how fitting it was when that darkness came over the land at 12 noon, when they rose the cross so that it was standing up straight and he was hanging there. And then, even eerier, when at 3 o'clock he breathed his last and it got darker and the temple curtain was torn in two and there was a shaking of the earth. We all felt it, and rocks were split apart. We watched from a distance as Joseph of Arimathea led them to the tomb, and they laid him in and they rolled back the stone. We were heartbroken and we were defeated. But that was 3 days ago, and now that the Sabbath was over, we would go and we would anoint him according to our custom. We didn't know what it was that we would find there when we got there. Would the Roman soldiers be there? And what would they do to us if they knew that we were coming to attend to his body? We didn't know, but we had to keep going. This was the one last thing we could do for him. We had heard that the Romans were searching for his followers. And for that reason, all of his male disciples had deserted except for John. He was the only one at the base of the cross. But I was determined. I was not going to let fear get the best of me. And I was determined that I would help with the anointing of his body with the other women. As we approached the garden that early that morning, we started talking to one another. Oh no! How will we ever roll away the stone? It's much too heavy for any of us to do. We had forgotten that one crucial detail. But when we arrived at the tomb, we could see from afar that the stone had been rolled away. And as we got closer, we stepped inside, and it was bright as day inside. And there where the body would have been laying, or where we expected to see Jesus' body, there was a young man dressed in white. And he said, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Go and tell his disciples." When the other women heard and saw that, they were so frightened that they turned and they ran out of the tomb, and they didn't say anything to anyone. I was crying, sobbing so deeply, and I stumbled out of the tomb, and I thought to myself, this is cruelty beyond cruelty. Can they not simply let him rest in peace? And then I saw another man. He was a bit older than the first that we saw in the tomb. And I didn't think he was a Roman soldier, so I wasn't afraid. I suppose that he was the gardener. And I said between my sobs, "Sir, if you have taken him, please tell me where he is, and I will go and get him." And then he said to me, "Mary." And at that moment, I knew who it was. It was Jesus, our friend, our teacher. And I knew that he was the Messiah and is the Messiah. No sooner did I get those words out than I knew that my Christological confession that I had said earlier, "You are the Christ, the one coming in the world," was true. So I ran and I shared it with the disciples, but they would not believe it. Well, that's the most generous interpretation of their reaction. If you are to look in Luke's gospel, you would read that it seemed to them as an idle tale. And that's a very kind translation as well, because it actually says in the Greek that it seemed to them as a leiros. Leiros in the Greek is horse excrement. My words seemed to them like horse dung. Well, you know, what would you have thought if you were in their place? If I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes, I wouldn't have believed it either. Besides, no one in all of Israel thought that a woman's witness was credible in that time. But God chose me, a woman, not only to be the first to see his resurrection body, but also to go and share the good news. Some have called me the apostle to the apostles. Apostle means sent. And that's what we're all to do. Those of us who have heard and those of us who know the truth, even if we can't quite wrap our minds around it and every single minute of the day, we are to go and bear witness and share what we have seen and what we have heard. Their belief, disbelief did not bother me because I was so full of joy and I knew the truth. And one day they would know the truth too. Now, there are three untruths, three idle tales that have been told about me for a very long time, and I would like to set the record straight. First of all, in the 6th century, Pope Gregory the Great preached a sermon about me and said that I was a prostitute. And that lie passed down for centuries. This is what God's Word says about me. God's Word, Scriptures say that I was healed of 7 demons by Jesus. God's Scripture also says that I, a woman, financed Jesus' ministry along with several other women. And Jesus says that the word says that I was the only one to witness both the crucifixion and the empty grave, but also the empty tomb and the resurrection. And finally, after almost 2,000 years, New Testament scholarship is getting at the truth. that it wasn't Martha who made the Christological confession that Jesus was the Christ. It was me, Mary Magdalene. We have the oldest now record of translation of the of John's Gospel, and it has shown that it was clearly changed after the second century. Date is the oldest and the most reliable, and it said that I was the one who made the Christological confession. Now, Peter, when he declared that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus replied, Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. And Jesus gave me a title too. It's Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. For years and years, people thought that that was a designation of the town from which I came. And indeed, if you go to Israel today and you are looking out over the Sea of Galilee on the northwest tip of it, there is a town called Magdala, and it does have a church called the Church of Mary Magdalene. But Magdala didn't even exist in the first century. Jesus gave me the title Mary Magdalene, meaning in the Aramaic, tower, tower of faith. The idle tale that I was from Magdala is untrue. Me, a woman of ill repute? No, that's an idle tale. Martha, the first one to make a Christological confession? That's an idle tale. And the fact that I was called Mary Magdalene because I was from Magdala, that's an idle tale too. But the biggest idle tale in the whole world is that death has the last word. The love of God in Christ is the strongest force in this world and the next. Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will be able to snatch them from my hand. The love of God is a love that truly lasts forever. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And all of God's people said, Amen.